The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Yes, indeedy, at the end of the world, it is Sunday, the 22nd of January, 2012. I'm Michael Rupert. Welcome back. I'm busy. I'm tired. I've been running around like crazy, but it's a good busy. There's a lot of good stuff going on. I just got back from a speaking engagement up in Northern California last night. I got back this afternoon and went right to work on the show tonight. It's really good that I'm circulating around Northern California and really experiencing how much activity, how much lifeboat building activity is taking here. And it's a real pleasure for me to be asked to go out and sit in, talk and listen and look to what's going on so I learn, but also to offer some insights. I mean, people are just getting it, and that's my message for the day for all of us. Don't focus on the zombies, man. Keep your eyes open for the people who are getting it, because there's a big party going on here, and this change of consciousness is moving forward. A lot to talk about tonight. I mean, a ton of big stuff, but I want to set up next week's show for you. A story from Business Insider on January 19th this week. It says, quote, a recent article at Foreign Policy noted that the $10 trillion global black market is now the world's fastest growing economy, and that in 2009, the OECD, that's the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, like the 22 biggest or 24 biggest industrial powers in the world, concluded that half the world's workers, almost 1.8 billion people, were employed in the shadow economy. By 2020, this is still quoting Business Week, the OECD predicts the shadow economy will employ two-thirds of the world's workers. This new economy even has a name, System D. According to an IMF economic study, black market, also called the shadow underground, informal or parallel economy, quote, includes not only illegal activities, but also unreported income from the production of legal goods and services, either from monetary or barter transactions. Hence, the shadow economy comprises all economic activities that would generally be taxable were they reported to the tax authorities. Amazing developments. And on the World News Desk, we have a story that went up, I think, today. Great story. Swap-O-Matic vending machine based on barter economy. Let me read that again. Swap-O-Matic vending machine based on barter economy. I'm just going to read this short article. It's by Andrew Price of Fast Company. Quote, there are about 7 million vending machines in America, and what do the vast majority of them sell? Sodas, sodium, or sugar-heavy snacks, which aren't good for you, packaged in plastic or PET and shipped around the country, which isn't good for the planet. This is still quoting, we've all used vending machines, but despite their convenience, they certainly aren't a solution to humanity's problems. Or are they? The Swap-O-Matic, created by the New York City-based designer Lina Fenequito, is a vending machine that lets you recycle things you no longer need and get things you want all for free. You can create a Swap-O-Matic account by entering an email address on the machine's touchscreen. You're then issued 3 credits. You can earn more credits by donating items to the machine and spend them by getting items in the machine that someone else has donated. Fenequito, who worked for AmeriCorps before earning an MFA at the Parsons School of Design, says the project is about promoting a shift in culture away from an emphasis on unconscious consumption towards a more sustainable way of life through reusing and trading. That's amazing. So these two stories are related in that. For all of us who have been working on peak oil transition and everything, and we've had some great economic minds on this show like Charles Eisenstein, we have been groping our way to finding a pathway from an obviously dying infinite growth old economic paradigm, and it's obviously dying because half of the world's workers are now outside of it. That's really important to note. These people who have already been discarded, essentially, are out there pathfinding ways for us. And all of this recent focus on this is arising as a result of an incredible book, Stealth of Nations, by Robert Neuwirth, N-E-U-W-I-R-T-H, which I'm still reading, but I'm really happy to report that Rob Neuwirth will be our guest on the Lifeboat Hour next week. There's so much stuff happening out there, and it's all good news, because it's our problem quite often as we face the issue, as I said for so many times and in so many speeches, is the paradigm trap. We can't see because we're trapped in the box, and we don't even see how we're trapped in the box. But there's all kinds of outside-the-box activity taking place, and it's accelerating, and people are learning very quickly. And this is going to be a subject we're going to come back to a lot. So next week, System D, economy, and what's happening around the world, and how people are making a transition. While we've been, you know, theorizing about it on radio shows, it's happening. It's in progress. Some very, very good news to report tonight, backing away from the abyss. It's pretty doggone clear from a number of sources that the United States has completely scrapped the idea of an attack on Iran, and Israel is contained. There were messages now that the situation has de-escalated to the point where Iran will now allow a carrier battle group to re-enter and consider it normal, the Persian Gulf. This after a week in which Russia undoubtedly asserted some amazing weight behind the scenes, and a week in which the U.S. gave an oil embargo and nobody came. Let me just go with that for a little bit, because the U.S. and the EU were trumpeting for about a week or so that, you know, they were going to continue sanctions and they were going to have an embargo on Iranian oil, and the U.S. and Tim Geithner were running around, you know, and basically the United States was told screw you by Korea, Japan, China, which is now importing 30% of its oil from Iran and increasing that percentage. We have that story by the Philippines, by India, and you know, the U.S. had the arrogant dinosaurs in Washington had obviously been reading their own press releases, but this is absolute confirmation of peak oil in the boldest faced letters I have seen in all the years I've been involved in it, because the reason why, and it's been confirmed in all the press stories, is that there is no place else to go, and Saudi Arabia has finally admitted officially that it cannot increase oil production. We've known that. Saudi Arabia is in decline. Rest in peace, Matt Simmons. And so a complete confirmation of peak oil, but the U.S. is just getting kicked around the planet. But then this story comes up. You got to check this out. Digital Journal. We have them frequently on the World News Desk. They're extremely reputable. This is a story dated the 22nd today by Katerina Nicholas. Iranian news sources claim Obama recognizes Iran's nuclear rights. This is well sourced, so it's short. I'm going to read the whole thing. Iranian officials have stated that President Barack Obama sent a message to Tehran through the Swiss ambassador, saying he recognized Iran's nuclear rights. The message also said Obama did not want to impose sanctions on Iran's central bank. White House photo by Pete Souza. President Barack Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act into law. Iran's deputy head of parliamentary committee. Oops, there's something cut off here. Let me expand this window so I can read this right. Into law. Iran's deputy head of the Parliamentary Committee on National Security and Foreign Policy, Hossein Ebrahimi, said on Saturday that President Barack Obama had sent a message to the country's leaders in Tehran. The message was dispatched via Livia Liu Agosti, the Swiss ambassador to Tehran, who represents American interests in the Islamic Republic. FARS, that's the official Iranian news agency, reported Agosti quoted Obama as saying that, quote, we, the U.S., recognize your nuclear rights, close quote. The message continued, I don't want to impose sanctions on your central bank, but I had no options but to approve it since Congress majority had approved the decision. Moreover, Pravda from Russia reported that Obama clarified that he was not able to declare his position publicly in the run-up to the American elections. According to the Obama report, that's a website, The U.S. president has written directly to Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, calling for direct talks through the White House, and has denied this. The White House has denied this. Swiss Ambassador Ebrahimi said, this is not the first time that Obama has sent a message and letter to the Islamic Republic of Iran, adding that Obama has reportedly spoken in a soft tone about the Islamic Republic of Iran. On Sunday, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman said that U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, and Iraqi President Jalal Talabani had both handed over the same message as Agosti President Obama signed, as Agosti, period. President Obama signed into law sanctions against Iran's central bank as part of the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act. That's a credible story. It contains confirmation, and it's from reputable agencies. And whether the White House denies it or not, what I am seeing clearly on the World News Desk as I look at the stories of events in the region is consistent with a total stand down for an attack on Iran. And my experience says, guys, that this is because I think primarily of Russia's intervention, stating clearly that an attack on Iran would bring Russia in on Iran's side militarily, mobilization of Russia's armies. And I have some confirmation on this because Henry Kissinger just made a trip to Russia to meet with Vladimir Putin. Now, when Henry Kissinger, who I followed for most of my life, the war criminal, Henry Kissinger is someone who negotiates and makes arrangements for the powers that be at the highest levels. And Kissinger, as old as he is, I don't even know how he moves now, going to Russia at this time clearly signals to me, and I'm reading this as a major shift in the global balance of power. In that the United States, apparently, after the horrible wars, Gulf One and Gulf Two, Afghanistan, all of the stuff, the adventurism we have seen, has been forced to realize its limitations, and I think we're going to see some major readjustments very soon. Of course, this does not take us off the hook for anything else that's going on. This doesn't take us out of climate change, which is proceeding horribly apace, or the economic collapse, and the tensions in the South China Sea are still there. The economic data is just atrocious, but I have seen a couple of signs of sanity, and I'm going to be careful as I say that. Clearly, the world mobilized to make it clear that it would not tolerate a U.S.-Israeli attack. Something else that I note with great interest tonight, and we'll have this up in must-see videos at CollapseNet, is that Benjamin Netanyahu over in Israel made a speech, and he's endorsed Ron Paul's foreign policy. Whoa. And basically that foreign policy says, Israel is saying, we don't need the U.S. to come in and back us up. We're a big country. We can take care of ourselves. And Ron Paul saying, we don't need to be spending all this money and getting involved in all this stuff. So there are some heavy things realigning under the carpet here. I would not take that to mean that, as some people would think, well, that proves that Ron Paul's in Israel's pocket. No, it doesn't. No, it does not. Because relocalization is an imperative all over the planet, and Israel needs to stand alone to deal with the environment it has largely created all by itself in the region, and to reconcile that without any other interference. And we sure need to stop spending money and getting involved in all this crap overseas. But the U.S. I don't care what they're going to say in the presidential debates or in the presidential election, or Barack Obama's going to bluster and act, and God, he's disgusting lately. The United States is being put in its place, and it's not being humiliated, but there is clear force and power marshaling globally to stop some of the more insane stuff we are seeing. So I'm pretty enthused by this. I'm going to be watching it all week and commenting on it. I'm going to be doing Max Kaiser with Russia Today tomorrow morning I believe that's going to be live around 8:30 in the morning Pacific time, but I'm sure the video will be up. That's going to be fun. Always happy to be with Max. And that's just a lot of good stuff going on. From the Wall Street Journal yesterday, China's crude imports from Iran last year were up 30% from 2010. China's overall crude imports were up 6.1%. And Beijing has, you know, basically said nobody went along with this oil embargo, and everybody's buying all the oil they can get as fast as they can get. So peak oil is confirmed, and because everybody in peak oil said that this would be the outcome. So anyway, we got a lot more to talk about tonight. I want to talk about CollapseNet for a bit, because all of this great information we bring you is made possible by the 21 people at CollapseNet. And we have had some very serious times lately. We're growing rapidly. We have survived a massive months-long cyber attack. We now have full control of our website. And if you've been visiting it, you know it's working real smooth. It's looking good. We're finally able to access back in so we can put some advertising in. And we're doing very well because our membership's growing, and we're getting 40,000 to 45,000 unique visitors a day. Nobody gives you what we do. But the cyber attacks had really strangled our income for several months. And this month, of the 21 people, there are about 10 who we've been giving between 500 and 1,000, some, you know, 2,000 a month. And we were not able to pay any of them this month. And this is all that these people, these volunteers, have to live on. And even in spite of that, every one of them has continued to work with complete dedication. So CollapseNet still needs your help. We're pulling out of this, but I'd like to get something to my volunteers as soon as I can. And if you'd like to help us, you can send a donation to CollapseNet Special Fund, CollapseNet Special Fund, 708 North Gravenstein Highway, Box 266 in Sebastopol, California, 95472. I'll read that again. CollapseNet Special Fund, 708 North Gravenstein Highway, Box 266, Sebastopol, California, 95472. Or you can go to the website if you want to do PayPal, wire transfer. Go to the website, CollapseNet.com, and click on the button Support Independent Journalism. We are really busy lately, but we're really feeling the click, and we're really feeling how much we're appreciated around the world. I click on the map there on the website frequently, because I always see who's online. And man, we have hi to everybody down under in Australia and New Zealand. You guys are always all over the site. But hi to all of our friends in India, Pakistan, Russia, Abu Dhabi, the Emirates, South Africa. All over the world we see them coming. And these are very influential people. And we have at CollapseNet have become kind of a very useful part in this rising tide of consciousness that is demonstrating that the 99% do have the power. And we're getting as creative as System D and finding ways to exercise that. So, now I want to set up this song. I played it right before Christmas, and I just recently met Diane Patterson. She's an incredible singer-songwriter, musician. God, can she play. And we met here in Sebastopol. She's overperforming in Hawaii now. But she's an amazing artist. You can find her at DianePatterson.org. The song we're going to play tonight is called High Sierra Morning, and I really kind of believe it can or maybe will become an anthem for the Gaian movement and our consciousness, and this consciousness that's emerging. And we'll dedicate all that to tonight to everybody who's living in System D. But here is, from Diane Patterson, High Sierra Morning.
his word. So we let go of the shore and let our fears recede into the night. It's gonna be
Diane Patterson. The song is High Sierra Morning, and the CD is called World Awake. Find it. It's great. We're coming up on a station break here at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll take your calls and emails. I already got the emails coming in. I love that, you guys. Keep sending them in. If you want to call in tonight to talk about what's going on, call us at 874-4888, 874-4888. Or email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. And we're going to head now into the station break, and I want to echo all the great things that Gary Null was saying about the success that we're having here. We are truly providing a service, and it's paying off, just like we're doing at Collapse. That we'll be right back at PRN.FM or tweet us at PRN_radio.
When everyone, everywhere is running for cover, when bonuses and bailouts are feeding bottom suckers, and your back's up against the wall again, you're the new white trash.
Yeah, you're the new white trash. That's on song Free Fall. Find that on our double CD, double wide, at newwhitetrash.com. That's my band with me, Doug Lewis, Andy Kravitz, Kristen Weigard, Carrot Tompkins, Arthur Barrow from Frank Zappa, Michael Yost, Phil Magini from Little Feet played for us. We had some great fun, and I'm glad we get to do that musical stuff here at the nightclub at the end of the world. All right, we're back for the second half of the show. There's still a lot of news to tell you. I see the emails coming in, and I'm always glad to see those guys. I miss you as much, and it's always good to see you with questions waiting for me every week. I like that. But let's catch a couple other things real quick, and then we'll take a caller from Gene out in Oregon. A couple things to tell you. From BBC yesterday, Occupy London protesters take over 5th London site. The Occupy protest group says it has taken over a 5th site in London. Up to 20 demonstrators moved into Roman House on 4th Street, Barbican in the city of London in the early hours of Saturday. An Occupy spokesman said, "Occupy is alive, folks." Now, this particular building they may have to give up. It may have been condemned and unsafe, but Occupy is still very active. And I'm just pleased to see that. We bring you constant updates, even though the mainstream is ignoring them, just to demonstrate that, just to show you that Occupy is demonstrating that it's alive and well, and we can expect to see good stuff from occupiers all over the world, my brothers and sisters, come spring. Major power shortages, and I mean serious blackouts, are now affecting, and this is peak oil, this is Collapse, perhaps 15 large countries around the world, including India, Pakistan, South Africa, the Philippines, had a big story on Mindanao this week, Lebanon, and these are getting really serious. We're talking days without electricity or days without diesel fuel, days without train service. And this condition is increasing around the world, so that's just a little reminder to everybody that the bear is attacking the camp. And some of the slowest campers, whether by choice or by fate, are getting eaten already. And then we're going to talk about super fracking. I may save that after this call. Mike Shedlock, who we frequently have on the World News Desk and on our homepage at CollapseNet, has a big story out. Brace for more job cuts, and he's right, baby. They're coming. Let's go take a caller first. Let's say hi to Gene Kaufman in Oregon. Are you there, Gene? Hi, Gene.
I am, Mike, and thank you for being there.
It's getting to be fun. Thank you very much. Where are you in Oregon?
Gold Beach, Southern Oregon coast.
I love it. I love it. What's up?
Well, what's up is something that's not up, and I have a friend who probably has recurrent breast cancer. Mm. Her husband is full-time employed. She has an 8-year-old daughter. He can afford health care for the daughter on the plan at work, but if he had to buy health insurance for his wife, it would cost him an additional $350 to $400 a month. Mm. They can't afford it and put food on the table. She has no health insurance. And she needs care. What should she do, Mike?
Okay, this is where System D is going to play into effect, and I hope to talk about it more. I am starting to get some sense that we had a story on the World News Desk this week saying that we're facing a doctor shortage. Doctors are quitting because they can't function in this unbelievably insane and corrupt economic paradigm. I don't know if it's going to be of immediate help to your friend, but I was talking to a homeopath this week, and he said he can't wait to the day where he goes and makes house calls and he gets chickens in payment. That's not going to be an immediate answer for your friend, but that's something that's going to evolve System D like out of Collapse. She should look to homeopathic stuff and also to herbalists and to non-traditional remedies. This is kind of the same thing that affects people economically and why I think System D is so important. People think that, well, if I don't function economically in System in the normal system, I can't function at all. And people are conditioned to think if I don't get medical treatment via conventional means or via insurance, then I can't get treated at all. And what I'm seeing is that that's not true. I don't know what's available, but if you go to the Lighthouse directory at CollapseNet, we do have a lot of alternative health stuff that's outside the system, the paradigm that's not going to cost that arm and a leg, that $300 a month. Gary's show is excellent, Gary Null's show for remedies. It's not that we're without answers, but we are without answers in the old system. But don't assume that that means that there aren't any out there. You just have to look a little bit, I think.
Okay, that helps. It's a different way of thinking about it.
Yes.
And I think she will be open to the homeopathic herbalist approach. Her concern now is for getting a diagnosis about what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And CT scan or such are incredibly expensive, literally. Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, sure. But you know, have her start checking for local health clinics that that can help, that will help direct, do guiding and screening for people who don't have the means to pay for them. They're around, and they're around pretty much everywhere. And you can get to doctors. There's a lot of medical stuff that's happening in a System D format now. I just don't know how to find you to introduce you to it. But start looking around there where she lives. For what's available for people low income, and be guided from there. And just, you have to dig. You have to do a little detective work.
All right.
Thank you for calling, Jean.
Yeah, I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Okay. Let me get back to this thing, because I tease at the beginning of the show. I hate to operate like a network. You know, here it is 39 minutes into the show, and I get to super fracking. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is from Bloomberg and Business Week. January 19th. I'm just going to read this. I mean, just put your seatbelts on, guys. Quote, undeterred oil services companies, including Baker Hughes and Schlumberger, are continuing their quest to devise ways to create longer, deeper cracks in the earth to release more oil and gas. These companies are no longer content to frack. They want to super frack, close quote. Picking up a quote again, Baker Hughes has set its sights on creating super cracks, a method of blasting deeper into dense rock to create wider channels. The aim of the technology, branded as Direct Connect, is to better concentrate the pressure of fracking fluids to reach oil or gas further from the wellbore, which existing methods fail to do as effectively. Of course, the industry says none of this is harmful. Quote, however, a 2010 study by seismologists at SMU and the University of Texas, Austin, found that the injection underground of wastewater from the wells may be affecting subterranean pressures in the rock, triggering tremors, say Amy Wall, senior policy analyst at the National Resources Defense Council. Those guys are good. Those guys are amazing. Just like any other type of fracking, we need a lot more independent scientific data and research to understand the risk, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, we all know, this is me now, we all know that the number one provider of fracking services in the entire world is, you guessed it, Halliburton. Okay, so we have confirmed now, we did this on the World News Desk, we've had dozens of stories, confirming that the swarms of earthquakes in earthquakes in Arkansas over the last 2 years were caused by fracking. We know that the big earthquake in Virginia, which I believe forced a nuclear reactor to shut down, was caused by fracking. It's been confirmed that fracking has caused earthquakes in England and in Europe. And so what these guys are proposing is to cause really bigger earthquakes and to find better ways to faster. These people are evil. I mean, my top three evil companies in the world, Halliburton, Monsanto, and Goldman Sachs. But this is, these idiots have to be taken out of the control room because they're serious about this stuff. So super fracking, even as fracking is having its butt kicked on all fronts around the world, and it is, this kind of stuff comes up and it scares me to death. These people are just out of their minds. I'm going to go read an email now. Let's go read an email from Lawrence E. I'm 27 years old and work as a paper boy and a dishwasher on the weekends. I live with my girlfriend, her mother, her friend, two cats, and a dog, all in a two-bedroom house. This is what collapse looks like, quoting me, close quote. I quit paying all my bills a year ago and began prepping. Do you think debt collectors are losing their steam? Good question. And in trying to break free of the system, I just switched to a 13-month lunar calendar. Any thoughts? Anything you can do to free your mind is good, you know, to really get your head out of the traps, out of the conditioning. So, the lunar calendar is good. I don't know. I don't have enough intelligence to answer whether I think debt collectors are losing their steam yet. I do think that a lot of them are giving up because look at all the people moving into the system, the economy, and they aren't going to pay back into that old economy. I think how aggressive they are will depend state by state and also company by company who's trying to collect the debt yet. I was just asked this question last night. I spoke up at a town a couple hours north of Sebastopol here. I've got a lot of friends up there, and I was asked essentially the same question. Is it time to start stiffing people? All I can say is that I can tell you that many people have certainly started making that decision on their own. I can't tell you whether it's going to be perfectly safe, but the debt collectors and the credit rating agencies are still out there. But what System D is going to show us, and you really want to listen to the show next week, is that half the world's workers are doing that, and they're functioning, and they're getting very creative, and there are people making it out there. They're just outside of the box that we're all going to be outside of soon. We have a call. Keith from New York. Are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Mike.
Yeah. This is me.
So I just wanted to pick your brain about two separate subjects, but before I go on, I just wanted to mention the Gerson therapy about homeopathic cancer remedy from Dr. Gerson for that woman who just called. And
okay.
I wanted to know your opinion about the High Frequency of Rural Research Program in Fairbanks, Alaska, and your opinion on David Icke and his whole consciousness extra-dimensional force.
Okay.
Thingy.
Oh, boy, that's a true apple and orange. HARP is definitely real. And I, like a lot of other people over a long time of reading about HARP, pretty much conclude that it has to do with weather modification, and it's, you know, it may be energy. I'm not going to debate all the questions. HARP is definitely real. I've been particularly outraged by chemtrails that I've been seeing lately, and we know that's weather modification. Some people say that chemtrails and HARP may be connected. I don't know. That would make sense. But I can tell you the chemtrails are making a lot of people sick. We had a big dose here in Sebastopol, and I got sick as a dog, and I'm starting to do some chelation therapy. And HARP makes me sick, weather mod makes me sick, the chemtrails make me sick, and I keep coming back with that to the same thing I've always come back to, which is until you change the way money works, you change nothing. So trying to proceed, pursue HARP or chemtrails or anything as an individual issue will be as ineffective as everything else everybody's done. We have to dethrone the monetary beast. About David Icke, I won't have anything to do with the guy. Shape-shifting lizards, the moon is hollow, give me a break. I can't do that. You know, people have been throwing David Icke at me since I started, and one of the reasons why I have been as effective as I have over the years as an investigative journalist, not just Pat Tillman, but many other exposés we've done over the years, and I still continue to do in rattle cages, is because I have not risked my credibility with anything like that. And leaving that aside, I absolutely don't believe it. There's an old axiom that disinformation, in order to be effective, has to be 90% accurate. And we have seen a lot of personalities over the years, Icke just being just one of them, who has articulated a nice, clear message that resonates with the feel-good parts of us and talked about issues we wanted to talk about, but that then have just thrown in some outrageous thing which disqualifies them. And, personally, I think that guys like that are taking the coward's way out because the system won't attack you as long as you discredit yourself with stuff like that. I'm a journalist. I'm a detective. And so I have always operated on those principles, and that's why CollapseNet's in 68 countries and why Rubicon's in the Harvard Biz Library, and, you know, and we've done all that because I just don't do stupid things like associate myself with that.
Right, yeah. So that HARP stuff, scary stuff, weather weaponization, crazy things with the government. But, all right, thanks for the call.
All right, man, thank you. We have an email from Justin Darmon, who is a regular. Hi, Justin. Ooh, this is a long one. You got to write shorter ones because you write good stuff. But let me read this. Hello again, Mike. Finished confronting collapse again. Thank you. And as with any sacred text, I have gained more insight on the problems of collapse. I've also run across a documentary on YouTube by the Truth Never Told channel. It's broken down into very short-numbered segments, and I highly recommend it. The author follows peak oil, and more specifically, your work to a T. I've never heard of these people, but that's okay. I'm not sure if you'll like that, but I was very happy to see that your work is reaching new audiences. Thank you, thank you. Where's the question? I've got to find the question. You've got to write shorter ones, Jason. Justin. On a side note, Mike, I've always had dreams of collapse since I was a young child, and I have always realized what that means, and to a lesser degree, what is to come after collapse. Have you heard similar stories from others, or do you have any experience with it? I'm sure I'm not the only one, and it has always been with me. Maybe that's why I do not fear collapse, but rather embrace it. I know that there is a possible great future for humankind around the corner if we don't kill ourselves first. Amen, brother. I am passionate about this. It is my own brand of spirituality, that and my very small percentage of Cherokee blood that perhaps has my dreams more like visions. Any thoughts on this possible fox-like magic? Thank you for everything, Mike, and my family says hello. And may spirit bless you and yours. And thank you back at you, sending it back. Igualmente. Everywhere I go and through CollapseNet, I encounter many times a week. People say, I've known this was coming. I haven't felt right my whole life. I get this. I see this. And that goes back to that metaphor I painted not too long ago, where I think the people that perceive this, if all of humanity was sitting in the Rose Bowl, and all the people who are aware of what's going on were asked to stand up, and we were allowed to see each other, we'd probably find that 60,000 out of 110,000 seats were standing up, which would, of course, change everything. The system conspires to keep us from seeing each other. And that's an important function that we provide at CollapseNet and here on the Lifeboat Hour, is we enable ourselves to really understand that we are not some begging, forlorn, disempowered miscreant sitting off to the side of the road saying, please listen to me. No, I really think that we are the majority, and we may not just be aware of it yet. But I think the 100th monkey is very close, or may have already been found. I'm so very pleased by the way things have played with respect to Iran, because it shows that there is some sanity in the world, and we do have the capacity to turn back from the brink of destruction. We just need to do that everywhere else we're facing it. Justin also wrote back and asked me to read the address for the CollapseNet Special Fund, which I'll do. Thank you. CollapseNet Special Fund, 708 North Gravenstein Highway, Box 266, in Sebastopol, California, 95472. And anything you can send is going to go to those volunteers who haven't been paid this month and yet so eagerly and dedicatedly continued with the work Boy, it's starting to pay off for all of us. We have an email from Jason, who writes, what do you think about Mega Upload being shut down by the feds in such close proximity to the proposed SOPA-PIPA legislation? Do you think this is just the beginning of a series of similar actions all around the net? I presume so, but just wanted to get your take. Thanks for your time, and I'll let you do. Well, yeah, and you know, we didn't cover that. This is also very encouraging. PIPA's dead, and SOPA's definitely on the ropes, which is also a good sign, because that bill, I guarantee, will be used to take CollapseNet down, and because there's no due process involved and no real proof. Somebody just makes an allegation of copyright, and boom, you're down. Both of those pieces of legislation This is, again, where the world is standing up to this stuff. And I think that developments with respect to SOPA, PIPA, and with Iran are going to embolden people to say bullshit a lot more clearly and in many more creative ways. Mega upload, I mean, you know, you can feel real ambivalent. I watched the mega upload video with all these hip-hop stars and so on, and you know, it felt kind of slimy to me. It was encouraging young kids to upload their stuff to mega upload, you know, and I'm also the guy who had no income for 2 years after Collapse premiered because the film was pirated 2.5 million times. On the other hand, I am a great beneficiary of the many tens of thousands of friends I have across like 8 Facebook pages and all of the other ways that I've been paid back. It's the right issue. I really side with the fact that things should be free. The transition is not always fair, but then not everything is fair in love and war. But Anonymous's response to Mega Upload, I think, was as thunderous as the takedown of Mega Upload itself. There's a war here. This is a slugfest, and we should not assume, even though I know of a certainty that the government has already the technological ability to shut down the web and censor it in any way they choose to. All they're trying to create is a set of circumstances in which they can employ legally or in a public relation, a positive public relations sense, technology which they're itching to use. But we're holding them in check there. So I'm seeing some real reasons to be optimistic lately. They're coming in, guys. All right, that's good. I'll go as long as you do as we can. Justin Yarmond again. Okay. For the caller who wanted info on cancer, check out naturalnews.com. Naturalnews.com. Lots of info on there. Also, look into Dr. Mark Sirkus, S-I-R-C-U-S. He is adamant about magnesium therapy in conjunction with cannabis therapy, says it cures cancer fast. His website is you can find all that when you Google his name. But there are a lot of answers out there, and I have met and I know people who have, using alternative treatments, had very significant cures, remissions. I'm not a doctor and I can't diagnose, but I know that there's a lot out there, so don't believe that you have to go back into that totally screwed up corporate medical infinite growth, screw you over, treat you as a system, kill your soul medical system. That's out there. Geez, I should be a writer. We got an email from New Living Magazine. Okay. How is it that the public has no clue about what is going on right above their very heads? I suggest people really cancel their cable TV subscriptions and tune into reality and what is really going on in the world. It's much more life-affirming than what the mind controllers of the mainstream media are feeding us. The truth shall set us free. Keep up the good work. That was from Christine in Long Island. Well, Christine, you know, this is like this change of attitude and perception that I have had. I think a lot of people really are getting to be aware of what's going on around them. And I no longer focus on the people who don't get it or the people who want to keep themselves wrapped in mainstream media. I think that is totally the wrong approach now. I think that is a total waste of energy. Because if you spend as much time looking around for people who don't believe, you'll find all, you know, I think as many now who do get this very, very, very clearly. And this is where we need to focus on ourselves and strengthening and giving energy to each other, again, which is the whole purpose of CollapseNet and to this radio show, because there's a whole lot going on around the world out there that we're not seeing. We got to drop that defensive place. We got to understand that we have muscles, we're out here, we're alive, and next week's show, I got to emphasize, is really going to drive that home. Remember now, half the workers in the world are operating outside of the conventional economy, System D. And the innovations are not just in the ways that they move things around. Unfortunately, there are bank accounts around. you know, that they have to use, but they're unlicensed, unregistered, and as needs dictate by region, whether it's Brazil or Lagos, Nigeria, or Brooklyn, people are finding ways to make money and move goods and services and stay alive outside the box. And that applies to everything. We got to get our heads outside the box. And I'm going to leave you guys with a question before I sign off tonight. This occurred to me today as I was reading through all these stories. You know, people have asked me, who are the powers that be? And I said, don't have their names and addresses. And we've nailed this down to the I nailed this down in some writings recently. I said, well, I want to know who the names are, the people who own the Federal Reserve, who the names of the people are that own the Bank of International Settlements, you know, the shareholders of the banks, the corporations, however they're hidden, the City of London. But something occurred to me today as I read the story about Henry Kissinger, because Henry Kissinger is a deal maker. He's a criminal, and he's a despicable human being. Very early on at CollapseNet, we got involved in the tailwind stories where Henry Kissinger had ordered the use of sarin gas in Laos and Vietnam. CNN producers April Oliver and Jack Smith did an amazing story on it, and they nailed it. Henry Kissinger picks up the phone, CNN fires Oliver and Smith, prints a retraction on a perfectly legitimate story. And it came out during the deposition of former Joint Chair Chiefs of Staff Admiral Thomas Moore, where he admitted that the sarin had been used, which again tells us that CNN lies through its teeth. And that's why CNN can't say my name. That's why I'm invisible, because if CNN says my name, the first thing I'm going to say with them is, look at what you lying bastards have done, and you want us to believe you. But Henry Kissinger is somebody who can broker deals or represents the powers that bank or finance the United States of America, Russia, and China. So here's another investigative pursuit as we go out through the day trying to identify the powers that be, because we do not forgive and we do not forget, and we want to hold them accountable. What banking institutions, banking and financial institutions in the world, do business with the United States, Russia, and China, all three at the same time? Which are capable of that? There's another way that we're going to get closer to the names and addresses of the people who are destroying this world and the people who we are fighting in an honorable war to build lifeboats and to get us safely into a new human paradigm where we post-petroleum humans can live a life of freedom really experience what we were supposed to on this planet. So anyway, it's been a great show tonight. Good to be back with you. Next week, Robert Neuwirth. Don't miss it. It's going to be a great show, and I'll be back with you next Sunday on the Lifeboat Hour. Thanks to PRN. See you next week.